الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
السلام عليكم and welcome to Islamic Faith in Focus. I am your host, Imam Hassan A. Amin. The Islamic faith may be one of the most misunderstood and for some reason the most hated faith in the world. Islam is the only faith that experiences whenever a person from the faith commits a terrorist act, all members of the faith are to blame and suffer the consequences of likewise being attacked. We are here to provide you with some basic information of what the Islamic faith is and what it is not. I am not here to debate with anyone about the Islamic faith. I am only here to inform the listeners about the basic tenets, rituals, and rites of the Islamic faith. The motto of this particular station I'm broadcasting from is, where information is power. Along that same line, that is that we also want you to understand that the way to get rid of ignorance of a subject is through knowledge of that subject. So we are here to clear up some of the misconception regarding the Islamic faith and give our listeners, or sometimes I like to call you member or students of the Islamic of our Islamic studies class, because sometimes I like to call this a class, some insight of what it means to be a Muslim. Now, Muslims are not afraid to talk about difficult subjects such as hate or racism, or sometimes I may use that interchangeably. And hate or racism is all around us. Oftentimes, the targeted people are dehumanized, which makes them less important and easier to disrespect or kill. Then others begin to disrespect or kill the targeted people. And many of the targeted people start to also believe that they are less important, and they start to disrespect and kill each other or hate each other. One of the definitions of hate is to feel extreme enmity towards something or someone, to regard with active hostility or show active hostility towards something or someone. Now, the definition of racism, and you have many definitions of both of these, I'm going to give you a basic definition, is a belief that race is the primary determinant of human traits and capability or capacities, and that racial differences produce an inherent superiority of a particular race. Now, let me give you some examples, and maybe in your own heads or your own experience, you know examples or experience examples of what racism is or hate. Maybe some of you can probably raise your hand and say, yes, I experienced that, or I know of someone that experienced being hated just for being who they are, or experience racism just for being who they are and nothing more. They didn't do anything to the person that is doing the negative thing towards them. They were just there at the wrong place at the wrong time, I guess, if I can say that. And then they experience what they experience from this person who has this hate for them. And that they don't know the person, and the person does not know them, all they know is that they hate them, or they show racism towards that individual. Now, let me give you some examples. Here in America, 9 people were killed in a South Carolina church. This was years ago. And a terrorist attackers wanted to start a race war. By killing up these people, he wanted to kind of poke the bear, if you will, and start a race war, I'm going to assume, between African Americans and whites. And he ended up killing people. All they simply were doing were attending a class. I don't know if it was a Bible study class or whatever, or they were just studying their faith. But all they were doing were attending the class. They were not doing anything harmful to anyone else. Then you have another situation where 11 to 12 people killed in a Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania synagogue, killing Jewish worshipers. And all they were doing on Saturday morning was worshiping the Creator. Then you have another one situation where you have 50 people in total killed in two masjids in New Zealand. The terrorists even recorded the killings and posted on social media, killing Muslim men, women, and I believe some children or a child while they were at worship at their Friday prayers. Now, years ago, there was an African-American man who was chained tied onto the back of a truck and dragged across the road, and to various parts of his body were scattered all over the road. And all the man was doing was walking down the street. And these guys got out their car and they assaulted him, and then they tied him up, horse tied him, if you will, and then they drug him behind the truck, and bits of pieces of his body were just strewn all over the road. We have another situation. Let me give you another example. For example, when two people that are in a line at a fast food restaurant, speaking to each other in a foreign language, usually Spanish, because they experience this a lot. And someone in line behind them, they will say to them, "You are in America, speak English, or speak American, or go back to where you came from." And all the people are doing just getting something to eat. And this person behind them say all these negative racist slurs and racist comments to them and telling them to speak the English language or speak American, which is not a language, to these individual, and it certainly looks surprised and say, "Go back where you came from." And 9 times out of 10, they're right here from up there from America. If they come from Puerto Rico, that's America. And so it was very insulting to these individuals that they heard this thing from the, and it's several times, not just once, several times when you have people that are in line and they will say these racist things to other people who happen to be speaking a foreign language. Now, there does not seem to be an end to hate and racism. So what is the Islamic perspective on hate or racism? By the way, at the end of this Islamic studies class, I have a special general message to my fellow clergy. So if you know a clergy, give her a call, and have them listening to the program, because I have a particular message that I want to give to them, clergy to clergy. Now, hate of another race or group of people is not part of the Islamic faith, nor hating people because they are from a different tribe or region of that other country than yours is not part of the Islamic faith. Now, hopefully you all got your Qurans out, and I said to you a couple times that please get yourself a Quran. You go to the store and get a Quran. You go to the library and borrow one from the library, or you can buy a Quran, and they also come in English, a rough translation of the Arabic. And so we're going to be on chapter 49, verse 13. And hopefully you'll be able to get that. I'll give you a little bit of time to go get your Quran if you forgot to bring it with you. But whenever we have class, Islamic studies class, on Wednesdays from 3 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. on this station, please have your Quran with you, because I may be referring to various verses. And also keep in mind that sometimes the rough translation that I read may not be the same translation that you are reading. And so, like I said, the Arabic is what the Quran was revealed in, and we have in it, but it was roughly translated in English and in Spanish and in French and other languages. So for those of you who are listening to me on the internet, you of course get a Quran that in the language that you best understand. And if it's Arabic, that's even much better. Now, again, we're going to be on chapter 49 and verse 13. Again, I want to emphasize, I'm a former college professor or teacher or instructor. Also used to be a principal of an Islamic school, and also teach in Islamic school, and also taught in public school. So a lot of what I'm doing is I'm addressing this as a teacher to my students, and hopefully you all can accept that from me. And I'm saying it with all due respect to you. So if I spell things or I really try to break things down, it's only the teacher in me. Now, hopefully you got your Quran by now. And Allah says in this particular verse, He says, "O mankind, we created you from a single pair of a male and a female, and made you into nations and tribes that you may know each other, that not that you may despise each other. Verily, the most honor of you in the sight of Allah is He who is the most righteous of you. And Allah has foreknowledge and is well acquainted with all things." And again, that was chapter 49, the 13th verse. And sometimes I may say Surah, which is the same thing. I may say Surah 49, and I might say Ayah, which is the same thing as verse 13. Now, the entire human race all comes from us from the same parents, Adam and Eve. And everyone pretty much are listening to me. They've heard of these two individuals. That was the beginning of mankind, and we all come from the same parent, our parents. We were made into nations and tribes that we learn from one another or about one another. I love meeting other people from other countries and learning about their culture and their ways and their belief. That's for me, because I love meeting people and learning from them, and of course, them learning from me. Instead of them being told about me, I'm African American. Instead of being told about me, let me tell you who I am. Like I'm telling you about Islam and being a Muslim, not something that you're reading out of a book. You're getting it directly from a person who's been a Muslim for a long time. You learn about my culture or my way, my nationality, from me, who've been an African American since birth, of course. And so you want to know about Hispanic people, Latino people, you go to them and ask about them. As a French person, go to them. Italian person, you go to them. Let me move on. You are not to hate me, nor me hate you, just because you are from another race of people than myself. Now, according to, we are encouraged not to hate. Because one of the companions of the prophet, he said that the prophet, may peace and blessing be upon him, said, meaning Prophet Muhammad, born 1400 years ago or so in Mecca, Saudi Arabia, he said, "Do not hate one another, nor be jealous of one another, and do not desert one another," meaning not talk to one another, meaning that, in short, if I get mad at you, I can't go beyond 3 days. That's the Islamic way. After that, we have to apologize to each other and be friends again. But for a lot of people, they end up being mad at someone else for years and years, and sometimes decades, and don't even speak to anyone. And I'm talking about to their relatives or to their non-relatives. We are not allowed to do that in Islam. We have 3 days to do that. After that, we have to sort of apologize to each other or start talking with each other. Not that when I see you and you see me, we turn our faces in the opposite way. And again, it says, "Do not hate one another, nor be jealous of one another, and do not desert one another. But, O Allah's worshippers, be brothers." So we are encouraged by Allah to be brothers to each other, meaning brothers and sisters to each other and friendly towards each other. Now, I want to remind everyone, and you know this is so, so true, is that none of us stood in a line and selected our color of our eyes or our hair or pick from a menu our skin color, our eye colors, our hair or our hair type. None of us did that. Our parents, they got together, they had sex with each other, and they produced us. We had no choice in that particular matter at all. And so you have to love the skin that you in, and don't you hate me because of my skin color or who I am, nor should I hate you because of your skin color and who you are. There was occasion when the prophet, he went on Hajj, and I had mentioned Hajj, I believe it was last week, and then he addressed the people. It might have been 1,000 or 200,000 people that he addressed, and he said this to them. This was a strong message he said to the people. He said, "O people, be aware, your God is one. No Arab has any superiority over a non-Arab, and no non-Arab any superiority over an Arab, and no white one has any superiority over a black one, and no black one any superiority over a white one, except on the basis of piety. The most honorable among you in the sight of Allah is he who is most pious and righteous. So, if you want to be better than myself, you can only be better than me if you're more pious than me. Are you more righteous than me? Otherwise, we're equal to each other." That's how Allah sees it. Doesn't matter how much money you have or anything like that, or your skin color, it does not matter. If the only way you're going to be more greater than me is your level of piety is higher than mine, or your righteousness is higher than mine. Let me read you a little of a story. And this was what they call Bilal ibn Rabah. He was an Abyssinian slave, and he became Muslim. And this story is told by Abu Dar, which is one of the leaders during the time in the early times of Islam. And he narrates this, and he says, "Once I was conversating with Bilal, our conversation gave way to dispute. Angry with him, the following insult burst from my mouth. You cannot comprehend this, you O son of a black woman. As Islam expressly forbids all kinds of racial, tribal, or color discrimination, Bilal was both upset and greatly angered. A while later, a man came and told me that the Messenger of Allah, may Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, summoned me. I went to him immediately. He said to me, 'I have been informed that you address Bilal as the son of a black woman.'" And of course, this was insulting for him to say that to Bilal. "I was deeply ashamed and could say nothing. God's messenger continued to reprimand. 'This means you still retain the standards and judgment of the pre-Islamic days of ignorance. Islam has eradicated all these false standards of measuring, judging people by blood, fame, color, or wealth. It has established that the best and most honorable of men is he who is the most pious and upright in conduct. Is it right to defame a believer just because he is black?' Abu Dar felt profound remorse. He went straight to Bilal's house, putting his head on the threshold, said, 'This head will not rise from here until the blessed feet of Bilal tread on the face of a foolish, impolite Abu Dar.' Bilal responded, 'That face deserves to be kissed, not stepped upon or trotted upon,' and forgave Abu Dar." This story is so touching and it's a very great example that Abu Dar and with Abu Dar and Bilal. Abu Dar felt sorry for what he had said to Bilal, and Bilal immediately forgave him and showed love for Abu Dar. Also, the Prophet, he instructed his nation in this way. He said, "You should listen to and obey your ruler, even if he was an Ethiopian black slave whose head looks like a raisin." So he instructed, it doesn't matter who's in charge of you, you obey them if that individual is in charge of you. Now, when you go to various religious places of worship, sometimes you will see just a certain color of people inside that particular place of worship. I'm not naming any name because I'm not here to debate. But when you go, particularly in America, when you go to many of the masjid, our places of worship, for example, on a Friday or other days, when you look out into the audience, you'll see so many colors of people there. And the only place you would see more color is in a box of crayons. And that's the beauty of Islam. It embraces all people. And no matter if you're rich or poor, it embraces you. Also, race does not matter, does not matter at all. Rasul Islam, he said, or Prophet Muhammad, he said, among the believers who show most perfect faith are those who have the best disposition and are kindest to their family. He also mentioned about lineage. It does not matter who you come from. And that he said, Allah would not inquire about your lineage on a day of resurrection. The most honorable in the sight of Allah is he who is most pious. This is so important to us as Muslim, is that it has no, having our lineage, no matter who we came from, no matter how much money, no matter how pretty we are, no matter how color of our skin, it does not matter. It's all about piety and righteousness. That's right. That is top of the list for the Muslim. It is also mentioned that the Prophet ﷺ said, Allah does not see your outward appearances and your possession, but he sees your hearts and your deeds. For example, when we go to our grave, three plain things go with us to the grave, and two things leave, and one goes into the grave with us. Our family, our wealth, and our deeds go with us to the grave. They put us in the ground. Our family and our wealth leaves the grave site, and our deeds go with us into the grave site. So we have to be very, very careful of what we say and what we do and how we treat people, because we do not want to treat people in a bad way. Because I had mentioned that we have angel on the right side, angel on the left side, angel on the right side writing down our good deeds, and angel on the left side writing down our bad deeds, so we're not getting away with anything. Now at this point, I want to have a special message to my fellow clergy. They may not like what I have to say, but it needs to be said. So please, clergy, pay attention. Or for those individuals who are here, you tell those who are not here. Now, this is to my clergy, fellow clergy. Perhaps the biggest promoters and supporters of hate and racism may be intentionally or unintentionally done by some of my fellow clergy members. One of our responsibilities as clergy is to prevent hate and racism from spreading amongst the people. We may be supporting it by not standing up against it and remaining silent when we see it practiced amongst the members of our faith and in our society. I encourage my fellow clergy to stand up against hate and racism among members of your faith, in particular, in society in general. All clergy have the responsibility to right wrongs and not stand by and see wrong being done to any group of people, and we remain silent. We see people using our faith to harm other people, and we remain silent. We see political figures harm other people, and we remain silent or make up excuses for them. If you fear man and allow hate and racism to spread across the land, perhaps you need to look for another line of work, because you are not benefiting the people in need of your spiritual guidance and spiritual leadership. On the day of judgment, when Allah asks you about your standing up against injustice in the land, will you again remain silent, or would you have a lot to say about how you feared Allah only and you were a great defender against hate and racism? We can make the world a little bit better by motivating the people to stand up against hate and racism. This can be done in our sermons and public gatherings. So that was my message to my clergy, that we have a big responsibility, not be in our lofty offices and have our big cars and all the things that we have and just have people come to us and kind of praise us. They don't praise us. They go beyond us and they praise the Creator. We have the responsibility of standing up for what is right and forbidding what is wrong. That is our mandate, and that is our responsibility. Now, if we see something wrong, we should change it with our hands. And if we are unable to do that, we should say something about it with our tongues. And if we cannot do that, then we should at least hate it in our hearts. Now, Allah says in chapter 4, the 135th verse, He says this. Hopefully you all will turn to those pages and get to that. He says, O believers, stand firm for justice and bear true witness for the sake of Allah, even though it be against yourselves, your parents, or your relatives. It does not matter whether the party is rich or poor. And then to the end, so let not your selfish desires swerve you or sway you or push you from justice. So my respected students, I appreciate so much that you took the time out to listen in today and make it to class. And you understand that the position of the Muslims, and that we are not ones that tolerate hate. We're not ones that's supposed to be about hate. We are about the ones that want to spread what is good for the people and best for the people. We are forbidding race of being racist. We are forbidding to hate people. That is the Islamic mandate. And anyone that does anything opposite to that, then they're going against the rites and the rituals and the tenets of Islam. Even if they're in the faith and they show racism within or towards other Muslims, this is not correct. And you have those agents writing down what they do and what they say. They are not getting away with anything, because the law can see a black act on a black rock on a black night. So he certainly know everything that we do and everything that we say. And we need to protect the targeted people who are experiencing racism. We cannot be afraid to stand up for what is right and forbid what is wrong. And remember that racism has no place in our society. And the only way that we're going to get rid of racism is that we band together. Get rid of hate, that we band together. If we see it, we say something about it. Or try to stop it with our hands, or say something about it, at very least hate it in our hearts when we see someone experiencing racism or being hated by other people, even in your own family. When they say things that are racist, you correct them. You say something to them. Don't just laugh at all, because it's not funny. This is a serious matter. So you're at least standing up. And if you don't stand up and you're just going to allow it to happen, you may be questioned about this on the day of judgment. And no one wants to be questioned about this on the day of judgment. So, my respected students, I want to thank you again for tuning in, for sitting in, and hopefully you have your Qurans with you. And if you don't have a Quran, please go to your nearest masjid or to a store or to a library and get your own, or get a Quran or call your own, and so that you can make it to the next class. Thank you again for tuning in. This has been Islamic Faith in Focus. I have been your host, Imam Hassan A. Amin. Assalamu alaikum.